From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, beginning with verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. As we begin reflecting upon this scripture today, I think it would be helpful to us to examine a little more closely the world of the text that this is written in. What we know about the time that Matthew penned this gospel and what it was that he was looking back, trying to tell us during the life of Jesus when this occurred. We hear as it begins that Jesus, after leaving Nazareth, had gone into Capernaum. And the Gospel of Luke makes it rather clear to us that the reason primarily for Jesus leaving Nazareth, his home, was the rejection of his ministry, or even his very person himself, by the people home, his family, his friends, those who knew him best. One thing I heard a minister share with his congregation once: our Lord is a gentleman. He is gracious and giving, welcoming to all who receive him, but he does not stay where he isn't welcome. He is a gentleman. As the people of Nazareth rejected the ministry and the hope and light of our Lord, Jesus went forth to minister in other places of darkness. So we understand a little more why he left Nazareth. And then the question presents itself for us: why would he go to Capernaum, to Galilee? Well, one interpretation that Matthew gives us in our scripture today was that it was fulfilling prophecy. As Isaiah shared in Isaiah chapter 9, he quotes here verbatim, Matthew does, those words of the prophet who said, "The land that was in darkness, in the shadow of death, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, will see a great light." And this is the very place where Jesus comes to minister. So one reason our Lord made his home there is because it was prophesied by Holy Scripture. It was to be. And then secondly, I think we must consider, what was it going through the mind of Jesus, perhaps, that encouraged this move to this place? One, it was a travel route. Those of us who have gone to that region of the Holy Land know that this was a holy highway that led all the way from Damascus, Syria, down to the far reaches of Egypt. This was a thoroughfare. The way of the Gentiles, the route where people were sure to be found. So Jesus placed his ministry in a place where many people could hear and see and experience the gospel and love of Christ. But perhaps just as importantly, what Jesus had motivating, it seems, on this mission to go into Gentile territory, there just across the Jordan, into this region on the Sea of Galilee, was that, as the writer says here, those people were living in great darkness. He uses those words that we also hear in the familiar passage to many of us from Psalm 23. The people were living in the shadow of death. Consider that word with me. That statement. The shadow of death. It certainly speaks of darkness. A shadow is a dark area around us. But also a shadow is this. It's hard to get any closer to a person than their shadow, right? A shadow is right with that person, right with that event. And this is the word that the prophet Isaiah and Matthew, the gospel writer, here uses to define the peril of the people living in Galilee. He says they are in the shadow of death. Or in other words, they're as close to darkness and death as your shadow is to you. That's the state they find themselves in. Wow. And in the darkness, in the depth of despair, is where Jesus the Lord chooses to come. He was there for the people, Galilee. He's there for the people today. In our darkness, He is light. You know, I was thinking just this morning, I walked up to my son Luke's room, and there beside his bed, he has a nightlight. A little nightlight, looks like a light switch, and it just glows, emanates a very subtle light. And why is that? Where it won't be so dark that he can't move around and find his way. He finds comfort in having just a little bit of light. We experience that physically, but doesn't Jesus practice that spiritually and emotionally and mentally for us as His children? He gives to us a comfort. He gives to us a light for our path so that we can see on our journey. I remember several years ago, we were over in a cave in Arkansas, way down deep. And at one point during the tour, the leader that was taking us through the cavern said, "Okay, everyone, brace yourself. Get well balanced because we're about to turn out the lights." And when he did, he said, "Now raise your hand in front of you." You couldn't even see your hand in front of you. It was so dark, so desolate. Had he said run, we would have been running into each other. We could not have found our way out of that darkness. And so it is for us on our spiritual journey. Haven't you at times in your life found yourself at the dark of darkness and despair? Not knowing where to turn, how to get out of the predicament that you found yourself in. And Jesus our Lord is the light for us that guides us, that delivers us into restoration and gives us hope in our journey of life. Friends, He is the light of the world. During the next few weeks, we're going to be reflecting on the threefold ministry of Jesus that we have also symbolized in our stained glass windows here that adorn our sanctuary. Today we begin and hear where Jesus entered in His earthly ministry as a preacher. He preached the word. That's the second stained glass that we have here today. You see Him preaching, proclaiming the gospel. But not only was Jesus a preacher, He was also a teacher. We see that on our fourth stained glass back at the back. Jesus, the teacher. And then also we'll find in the Sunday after that, that Jesus was the healer. We see that displayed in our third stained glass. Jesus, the threefold ministry that He brought to this world was preaching, teaching, and healing, delivering the gospel in word, in deed, and in action. He is the light into darkness. He is the light of the world. You know, when I think about that light of the world, the symbolism that we practice every Sunday as our young disciples bring light into our worship. You know, it's no accident that that's the first thing we do in worship. It's not just cute. It's not just to see young children bringing the candelabras into the worship, being our acolytes, touching the candles. No, that says to us that our worship, our life, our hope begins not in our ideas or our journey alone. No, it begins with the light of Christ leading us and guiding us on our path to be His light in the world around us. But you know, it's so tempting. It's so tempting to look for direction in other things, to turn in the wrong direction, the way from God. That is why Jesus begins His earthly preaching with saying, it is a time to repent, to turn from the ways of the world and turn in the direction of the Lord above, the one who gives life, the one who provides light for our path. You know, when I think about choosing the wrong path or living in darkness, I'm reminded of a cute little story about a man that was walking along a dark street, and he came all of a sudden, after he'd gone a couple of blocks, into a street light. Under the street light, he saw what looked like a rather rough character. He was not very clean. He didn't have very nice clothing on. And the man was down almost on all fours, looking on the ground. He appeared to be a bit inebriated. And the passerby asked, said, "Friend, what are you looking for?" He said, "Well, I'm looking for my wallet. I can't find it anywhere." And the passerby said, "Well, are you sure this is where you dropped it?" He said, no, I dropped it back several blocks." He said, "Well, why are you looking for it here?" He said, "Well, there wasn't a light back there." It sounds ridiculous, but we must have a light when we're in need. When we're in darkness, there is no hope if there's not a light to guide us in our search for restoration. We too are as lost as a person trying to find our wallet, searching in the wrong place when we don't begin our search for deliverance, for hope, for joy, for family, for whatever it is, without the life of Christ. He is our light. He is our love. He is our hope. You know, I hear the story that Robert Fulghum, the author, once told about sitting in a class with one of his Greek professors. He said near the end of the lecture, the professor asked the students, as a teacher or instructor often does, "Are there any questions before we dismiss?" We all know that we want to make sure we don't ask any questions because we're ready to go at that point, correct? But Fulghum said, just kind of in a teasing way, he said, "Yes, Professor, I have one question. What's the meaning of life?" He said the professor looked at him, and he kind of grinned. And he said, then the grin became very serious. And the professor said, "Robert, if you really want to know the answer, I'll give it to you." And with that, he pulled from his wallet a little small mirror. It was a rounded mirror. And the professor said, "I found this piece of glass when my family was growing up in war-torn Poland." He said a German motorcycle had driven by and had broken the mirror on the side of the vehicle. He said, "I found the largest piece of the mirror, and I got that little mirror and I started grinding it on the ground, on the concrete." And he said, "I smoothed it down and I rounded it to the object it is today." And he said, "As a child, I began playing with that mirror, and I loved to take this game. I would take the mirror and I would shine it into dark places and emit light." He said, every time I found a challenging place, I would tilt the mirror just a little more, just to see what was the most unusual place, the hardest, darkest place where I could send light. He said, as I grew older, I realized that it was no longer a child's game, but rather a symbol, a metaphor of what I wanted to do with my life. He said, I realized in the mirror that I was not the light. I was not the hope to conquer darkness, but yet my role was to be an ambassador of the light and help it shine in dark places. Christ is the light. Scripture tells us He is the light of the world. And friends, He calls us as His people, as His church, to embrace the mirror of our life and shine it into darkness, bringing comfort to those who are fearful, love where there's hate. A young girl once in a poverty-stricken home walked by the doors of a church one evening. She heard within the sanctuary the preacher speaking of that scripture that I am the light of the world. After the service, the little girl ran to the preacher and she said, "Sir, did I hear you say you were the light of the world?" He said, "No, my child. Christ is the light of the world, but I'm one of His lights that He's called to shine." She said, "Oh, sir, I wish you would come to our neighborhood because it sure is dark there." The child is looking for someone to come. Will you go? Will you go? Amen.